So tonight we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. What did the resurrection of Jesus accomplish? Which this is pretty convenient. And so Easter is coming right around the corner, which we usually spend a lot of time talking about the resurrection. That's every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection, but we do especially talk about it on Easter. Hold that thought there. So let's see, go to the next slide there. Some pretty good pictures here. Some fine upstanding citizens here. So what happens if you disobey your parents? Yeah, usually you get in trouble, right? Some kind of... Now, different parents have different sorts of punishments and all that, and but then what about if you keep on disobeying your parents? Let me hear your answer, Anna. A lot of trouble, extra trouble. Okay. Now, what about this? What if you didn't even get punished for disobeying your parents, and you just kept disobeying your parents, and they just gave up, and they just didn't even stop you anymore? What would happen? Well, yeah, you probably would be doing some bad things. You think it was okay, and so you keep doing bad things, and I mean, what might eventually happen? I don't know. Let's think about. Oh, then may okay. So maybe you wouldn't even, yeah, possible. You would be a brat. Yeah, you kind of be a brat, I think. Well, you know, actually, somebody was right because I think if you continue to disobey your parents and you just always disobeyed your parents, I think eventually you'd run into some trouble. And not just trouble like you're getting grounded or something, but trouble like walking out into the street when you're not supposed to, like if you're a little kid. Or if they say, you know, don't take this dangerous medicine and you do it anyway, or they say don't play with matches but you do it anyway, or don't play with the knives but you do it. Eventually, there's going to be some problems, right? Some big don't stick your fingers in the electric socket. And it's like you say, no, I'm shh. Right. What's my point? Eventually, that way of living is a pathway to death, isn't it? Pathway to suffering. Shh. It is the way of death. That's right. That's how sin works. We think we're doing what we want to do, but actually, we're on this this track that leads the wrong way. All right, now, so what about the resurrection of Jesus? Go ahead and give us the first slide. So number one, yeah, in the resurrection of Jesus, death becomes life. Yeah. So you can see the dead tree and the live tree there. This pretty big difference, yeah. Whole different feeling on those two pictures, isn't it? All right, now, you're going to have to bear with me. I'm going to read a few verses. These are all from Romans chapter 8. As Paul trying to explain what is happening that Jesus is doing here. All right, so listen carefully. You're really going to have to pay attention here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So to be condemned is like to be pronounced guilty or something. But he says, nobody can do that to you if you're in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Remember, the law, all you can do with the law is break it. And it just shows you that you aren't perfect. But God did something else. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, remember Jesus wasn't sinful, but he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to these Christians at this church, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. All right, now, again, he's explaining this to some Christians and reminding them of what Jesus' resurrection accomplished. So now Jesus' death was the payment for their sins, but his resurrection here is sort of giving them this new way of life. So if Jesus was raised from the dead, there's a resurrection that happens in our hearts as well when we trust Jesus. And ultimately, there's a resurrection of our very bodies one day, so from actual death. But right now, he's sort of talking about in our spiritual life. And so before we're a follower of Christ, you're walking in the flesh, which is a weird thing to say. So it's like, what does he mean by that? He means like you are thinking about things just like everybody else does. You know, you're thinking about how can I satisfy my own needs? I'm hungry. How can I take care of myself? How can I get more money for myself? How can I do this for myself? Sort of like thinking about your own self instead of other people. That's sort of walking in the flesh. You're only concerned about your own self. Paul says that is death. That's the way of death. Just thinking about your own self all the time is the way of death. But if you follow Christ, you are on a different pathway. You're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The power of God is helping you and giving you life. Really, that's what happens when you trust Christ and become a Christian, is you are made alive. It's like the Bible says you're sort of like a dead person and you've been resurrected inside. And so now you can choose the way of life and the way of peace. Really, you're making that choice 100 times every day. You know, every time you're doing something wrong and you're being mean to somebody or you're doing something selfish, you're choosing the way of death. I mean, you might not die immediately, but you're taking one step closer to towards the death side. Every time you do something good or you do something for somebody else, that's choosing the way of life. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then it makes that really hard. And he says you really can't please God. You really can't make your way along that way of life. But if you are trusting Christ, then you can actually begin to live that way. Now, it's not as if you can, if you could just be good enough, then you could somehow earn your place with God or something. That's not what he's talking about. If you're a child of God, you're already a child of God. You're already one of God's people. And but it's just talking about, are you going to continue in those old ways, or are you going to turn and embrace this new way? And if you have the Holy Spirit, you can do that. It's just like a dead seed begins to grow in the ground. You know, it's getting to be spring now, and stuff's going to be starting to sprout up, and flowers and stuff are going to start coming up. But all those flowers, or maybe if you plant a garden or something, that seed you plant is pretty much just some kind of little dead thing. I mean, they just have them in packages at the store, and or you know, they fall off a tree or something, and they're just like a little pieces of just dead nothing. But you put them in the ground and you water them and you wait a while, and all of a sudden this plant shoots up out of there. It's like, that's just amazing. Like, where did that little plant come from? It's because this dead seed was somehow made alive. And, you know, we still really don't exactly know how that happens. I mean, we can understand about how to plant stuff and things like that, but it's still a little bit of a mystery to that. And that is a lot like what God can do in your heart. He can make it into a living heart, living in a way that you've never lived before. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, the resurrection of Jesus makes slaves into sons. Slaves become sons. Man. Not just a son either, but it looks like maybe some royalty involved there. All right, try to drink that quietly, please. Shh. Okay, I'm going to read you a couple more verses. Here's what he says next. He says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, we owe something, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God," or daughters. You can think about it like that. It sort of works both ways. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." So, he says, if we walk after the flesh, then we're following the pathway of death. It's like we are prisoners. See that chain up there? That's like what sin is. If you're following the way of sin, it's like you're a prisoner to sin. And really, that's kind of what it is. Or it's like you're a slave to sin. You're serving your own desires. You only care about what your own self needs, what your own body needs. You're in. People think that they're free and doing whatever they want, but really they're in service to Satan and the powers of darkness. There's all kinds of a spiritual sort of thing going on. And every time you do something bad, you're sort of activating that dark spiritual power and causing things to be worse and causing a little bit more death to be in the world. That's what's going on. And you're a slave to it. You really can't do much about it. Slaves can't just decide to not be slaves anymore, can they? No, they don't have a choice. That's what it means. You're not free. But in Christ, you are free. Christ makes you free. Not only are you free, but he doesn't just set you free and say, okay, now go do what you want to do. He makes you a part of his family. God makes you a part of his family. And he adopts you. That's what Paul says. He says, you are adopted. And you can cry out to God and say, "Abba, Father." You know what that means? It's sort of like the Hebrew way of saying daddy. Hey, can you imagine calling God your, like, daddy? It's like this very, very sort of intimate thing. It's like dad or something. Shh. Right, you would think, oh no, you're supposed to be very solemn and respectful, which you are, but if God is really your father, then, you know, he says you have the freedom to approach him in, you know, a very sort of family sort of way. He's just your dad. And that's what you get when you follow Christ. You become one of the family. And he says, not only that, you're a son of God and are a daughter of God, and you're also an heir to the kingdom of God. That means you stand to inherit the riches of heaven. So, man, imagine if you were a slave. We don't really know what it's like to be slaves because we don't have slaves. But it would be just horrible, right? To be a slave, but then, and then to think how good it would be to be free. Hold your question. That's what Jesus gives us in his resurrection. All right, last one. In the resurrection of Jesus, the old becomes new. I'll look at those pictures for a minute. Because he's young and healthy, and it's not any problem at all. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's assume he's doing something that's not going to end in terrible injury. All right, so let me finish with the reading of just a few more verses here. This is what Paul says next. This is the old becoming new. Listen to see if you can pick up on what's going on here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who had the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and redemption of our bodies. All right, so Paul's talking about walking the path of the Spirit or the path of the flesh. And now he's talking about all of creation being affected by the resurrection of Jesus. So it's not just that the resurrection affects us, but all of creation is going to be made new one day. So it's sort of like it says that the creation is groaning and waiting for itself to be remade, for all the bad things in the world to be swept away. So, you know, stuff like pandemics and tornadoes and floods and tsunamis it's like all of that stuff. The world itself is waiting to be made new. When Christ died and rose again, he broke the power of sin and death in the world. So, like, sin and death were sort of controlling this world. The Bible says that the devil's sort of ruling this world with his forces of darkness. They're in charge. They're making bad things happen all the time. And yet when Jesus died and rose again, he broke their power. And so they're slowly losing their grip on this world. And one day their grip will be completely broken, and all of this world will be the way it is now, the way that it works, with the most powerful people having all the stuff. And all of that is going to be broken and swept away, and the new creation is going to be coming forth. So I've got a pretty good illustration of this today at the school I work at. One of my friends was sitting down in the teacher workroom, and he heard these groaning sounds. And he thought, "What is that sound?" You know, just some kind of like weird kind of groaning sort of sound. And he didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, a bunch of cabinets just fell off the wall and almost hit him. Yeah, just like out of nowhere. And he said it sounded like a tree falling or something. And then he showed me a picture of it. And it's like stuff, pencils and all kinds of junk just strewn everywhere. But that's kind of what it's like. Those cabinets this morning looked perfectly fine. But what had happened was it rained a couple of weeks ago, and some of that rain had got back in behind there and loosened up some of the screws, and they had just worked themselves loose, and today was the day where it all fell apart. We didn't know it was going to happen today, but today was the day it happened. And that's really what it's like in this world. This world, it looks like this world's just going to go on forever, and these people that are the most powerful are always going to be the most powerful. The people who are the richest are always going to be the most rich. But there's something working in the background. Through the death of Jesus and his resurrection, there is another power working, And those evil powers are losing their grip. And pretty soon, this groaning that Paul is talking about here, the earth is going to be completely changed. Things are going to be completely flipped around, and the powerful and the rich will be put down, and the meek and the poor will be lifted up, and that it'll be a completely different place, a place where people actually care about each other and love each other. That's the kingdom of God. Now, not only this, but this is my last thing. We hope in not just to be like when we die to float around in heaven somewhere like a ghost. Our hope is that our very bodies will be resurrected, which is different than just like living after you die or whatever. This is your actual body being brought back and made new. So that's the Christian hope. That's what Jesus promised when he said that, you know, you're going to be resurrected just like I was. Jesus was the first to do it, and he had his literal body was resurrected. They could feel it and touch it. He could eat and talk with them. And that's what it's going to be like for Christians. If you're a part of this kingdom of God, your very body will be put back together again in a more miraculous way than it ever has been before. And it won't be subject to death. It won't be subject to sickness. You won't have to worry about pain or suffering or anything like that. You'll be completely made new. That's the future that Christians have looked forward to. And we won't live in this world that's, you know, got tornadoes and earthquakes and stuff like that. That part of this world will be done away with, and it will be a perfect place here where heaven and earth are joined together under the rule of Christ the King.